recorded.
Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Hey, great to have your company this afternoon. Another Wednesday, another week rolls round. Oh, and I must say, they're going too fast. So it's time to take 25, sit back, relax, and join the conversation. You're with Miss Mariska. Ooh, who are you with today? I don't even know who you are with. God, look at that, eh? It must be one of those days. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby. Oh, mama, don't play now, baby. Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby. So let's go on things straight now, baby. Tell me if you love me enough, love me enough, love me enough. At the house on you, I'm lucky enough, lucky enough, lucky enough. You gotta tell me if you love me enough, love me enough, love me enough. Wishing for you, I'm a lucky nut, lucky nut, lucky nut. Ooh, 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 wishing for you. Ooh, ooh, try to put what love is through. Ooh, 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 wishing for you. Ooh, ooh, try to put what love is through.
Say, 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 hey, hey, no, baby. You gon' make me hit you with that lay down, baby. Say, say, hey, hey, now, baby. You know what I need all today, now, baby.
Tell me if you love me enough, love me enough, love me enough. If you want me, I'm lucky enough, lucky enough, lucky enough. You gotta tell me if you love me enough, love me enough, love me enough. I'm wishing for you, I'm lucky enough, lucky enough, lucky enough. Games, are we too grown to play around? Young enough to chase, but old enough to know better.
Are we too grown to change? Are we too grown to mess around? Oh, and I can't wait forever, baby. Both of us should know better.
Ooh, 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 been wishing for you.
I do like that song. Hey, listen, Irene, and for our listeners out there, I don't know whether you're still giggling about your little episode last week and how you didn't quite get your bananas as you kind of wanted your bananas. And I'm still giggling about that, but it did remind me, and as I drove away last week, I was thinking about the time we were going through Mongolia and we were on the train, and with the stations there, the toilets got closed 10 minutes before, you know, because obviously the toilets just went out onto the track. So they would close all the toilets 10 minutes before you came into a station. But we were to come into the big station now. And so they were going to be closed 1 hour before. And so I had kind of made it, befriended, I suppose, a little bit, the hosts of our carriage. So each carriage had a host. And she decided to get her Google Translate out. Well, of course, we had intermittent internet but she finally got it. And anyway, she brought me over to her cabin and she kind of put it in her Google Translate. It did not translate into anything I could even understand, that did not twig to go, the toilet's going to be closed earlier. And anyway, so it all ended up being hand signals. And all of this, it was absolutely hilarious. Just trying to figure out, you know, we figured out toilet first, and then it was the whole thing around that, and you know, the pointing to your watch and point, you know, how does it say it's closed, and all of those. It was just hilarious, isn't it? Funny how we, when we want to get a message across, we've just got to use everything that we can.
Yeah, lesson in charades. And I actually don't find it hard. I think it's amazing how people manage by sign language and just the odd word or something here and there to get the message. And it's you can understand how so many misunderstandings happen in the world when people don't stop and take the time to really try and figure out what the other person is trying to say. You
absolutely.
Know, 'cause it can get really, really frustrating.
Yeah. I think what threw us off here is that Google Translate didn't, it just translated some strange words, so it took a while for us to even figure out what she was actually talking about.
Right. You know? But she was trying to translate from Russian to English? Sure.
Mongolian to English.
Okay.
So,
right. So
yeah,
obviously not a word in Mongolian.
Yeah, going to say, it was just so much fun, you know, when we look back and the laughter, you know, that it caused, that we just had so much fun together about that, yeah. So, now, hey, you're 4 weeks on. Mm-hmm. 4 weeks now. 4 weeks from your knee-op.
Yep. I'm into 4 weeks. Doing absolutely fantastically as well. Yeah, it was sort of a little bit funny that first week that I was out of hospital because, as you know, I was only in hospital for 3 days, and so I'm still on crutches when I first come out, although I was only on crutches for a couple of days. And thank God for automatic cars, because I would have had a tremendous amount of problem if I didn't have an automatic car. There was just no way that I could use a manual car.
For our younger listeners out there, I'm not sure you know what a manual car is, so I suggest you look it up.
I'll have you know, my 16-year-old granddaughter is learning in a manual car.
Because good on her.
I know, because her dad and me and several other people said that's the best way to learn what a car feels like and how a car is actually driven.
Absolutely. And, yeah. Gosh, that is, I support that.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of people have poo-pooed us about it because they say, oh, well, you know, she's never going to drive a manual car again. She'll be in an automatic, so why does she need to? But at least she'll feel the automatic car changing gears and she'll know. And, you know, they've got Triptronic and everything now. It helps them understand the car better. Anyway, back to my my transport while I was incapacitated, and they said to me that I wasn't allowed to drive, but I had physio appointments twice a week, I had a doctor's appointment once a week, and I had these funny things that I do, like radio and all sorts of things, and so I had to get around. And just for the physio and the doctor's appointments, I asked if there was any facility that I could be locked into that would get me to these appointments. At least that would cut down on taxi fares for some of the other things that I was doing. And there was nothing, absolutely nothing.
They tried so hard.
No. Yeah. If I'd been on ACC, yes, they would have paid for my taxis. If I was a refugee with school children needing to get to school or whatever, then yes, they would have paid for my taxis. Or needing to get to hospitals or whatever, then yes, they would have paid for my taxis. Obvious reasons for that, I can understand that. But because I'm just an old person with an old person's problem, no taxis. Now, I actually do not really, I'm not saying that in a negative way, because I just do not see how they could possibly pay for everybody that would suddenly jump on that bandwagon and say, I need a taxi because I'm this old person who's had my big toe trimmed, you know? So I'm not being negative about that. I'm just saying that was the case. And there were no taxis available. I would have had to pay for them, which would have cost me $200 a week.
That's a lot of money, you know, when you're thinking about that. And I don't know, just as you were talking, maybe as society we've changed because maybe family would have taken care of that. But we're also busy working now. I have to take time off work to take mum to the physio, you know, type thing.
Exactly. And also the culture that we've come into, even family turn around and say, well, hang on, why isn't the government paying for this, you know? So it's sort of being... Everything is being dumped in the government's department and their coffers just aren't big enough to pay for all of that. So, no, this isn't a criticism, but I just thought I'd put it out there that there is that little tough time. And luckily I had a great group of friends and for that first week I had a girl coming all the way over from East Coast Bays, a girlfriend, just to run me around to those appointments.
It's a big thing though, isn't it? You know, when we do think about it, because, you know, if you don't have those huge networks around you, do you just end up not going?
And that's what made me wonder with some people that don't have a load of friends. I mean, I don't have a lot of family around me in Auckland, and the family I have got have all got little ones and just so busy that I wouldn't want to impose on them. And then my darling daughter went and took annual leave and came up and spent 4 days with me so that she could look after me through the best part of it too. But people that don't have that family friend backup, it's got to be hard. It's got to be terribly hard for them. Really, really hard for them.
I know the hospitals have some shuttles, but I think that's just through to and from the hospital. But you also still pay for that. So unless you are on a very efficient bus route or train route.
Yeah, you can't. Now, the whole point of me bringing this up really was that when I did actually get to the hospital, it was Green Lane Hospital, there was a mobile bus, a big van there that had immobility bus signs and everything on it. And, you know, I didn't take a photo of it. I meant to take a photo of it so I could put it on Facebook. So there is a bus that I do believe it does cost you, and I do believe that they will. So like an airport shuttle bus, it's a hospital shuttle bus type thing. But nobody could give me that information when I needed it.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I asked my doctor, I asked the nurses at Mercy Hospital, and I asked them in Green Lane Hospital. None of them could give me that information.
Wow.
So somebody's got the information and somebody is setting it up and doing it really well, but the information isn't getting to the places where it needs to get to. So I think we have a bit of a fall down there. That's my only criticism of the health system at the moment.
Let's find that out and put that up on our Facebook page to say, well, who do you call, where do you find out? Because I do know that my mum uses it every so often, and she has to travel probably an hour, well, not quite an hour, to hospitals from where she lives. And I know it costs, but it's nothing like a taxi, obviously. It's a minimal cost. But I don't even know how she found out about that. Let's find that out, and we'll stick that up on our Facebook
page. That would be great.
Yeah.
Because me, I just went and drove from day one. But I would have been a good girl and taken that bus if I'd known about it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's very, very hard getting in and out of the car. Very painful. So.
And isn't it interesting how kind of from our fragmented society, if you can call it fragmented, but this changing society that we live in, that some of the opportunities have also come up, like driving Miss Daisy.
Mm.
You know, so from this, you know, we're family, that was what family used to do. But as I say, we're all busy out working, trying to feed our families. These other opportunities pop up.
Yes, yeah. And see, I thought about driving Miss Daisy, but I believe that they are being kept very busy with the elderly that are in the nursing homes and that.
Right, I don't know actually. Yeah. I just see their cars and I think they're lovely cars. I love
awesome
the
idea.
But actually I don't even know, that's all
who's
I know.
Cover? Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? So I haven't really kind of gone into that. Yeah. But it'd be quite cool. But I think that's a paid for service as well, isn't it?
Yes. So that's where I ended up after my first week. You know, when my daughter had to go back and my friends had to get back to work, they couldn't take any more time off. So I ended up by driving myself because nobody had any other ideas that they could give me of how I could,
Wow. Hey, talking about that, and I'm sure my physio won't mind me saying this because it doesn't matter who takes this idea up because I think it's a good idea. I did promise him that if I won lotto, I'd help him put this idea together. But they do a lot of pain management as well as physio, and he says, you know, often they see somebody come in and it's it's not pain. It's somatizing as physical pain, but it's not pain. It's more mental stress and the stress of all of our workplace or life. And so for some, he actually sends them home and says, now think about what you've been stressed about. All this is just stress. But what he would love to do, and, you know, it's great to have a gym with a physio, you know, so you're right there all in the same building. But he'd actually like to have an area where you could dance. And he said there's two parts to this. He said sometimes actually getting better, it's more about just moving. Not so much, you know, if you have to move particular parts, but also making sure you're moving all of the time. But also community. Mm-hmm. Because you're there with other people. You're not feeling like, you know, you're having to do exercises to get better. You're doing this. But community and that community spirit to actually lift, you know, from wherever you are. Because obviously when you're in, well, I suppose when you're in front of any medical person, you're quite vulnerable anyway. But we don't have this sense of community. So he's like kind of thinking this is what he'd love to do, as well as have that gym space. Also the space where actually people would come in and dance. Obviously they can be thinking about the different dances that they do to keep them safe. They know their patients. But he said the second part of it is that community and that support of each other.
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't it just?
Yes, that'd be awesome for a physiotherapist to have some sort of, I can't imagine how you would get it started.
Just space.
To get people coming to it, you know, because people are so shy about dancing, aren't they?
I know, but if you're using it as maybe, you know, as a, this is how we're going to get you better and up and going, and obviously we probably won't be doing the tango and stuff like that. Maybe a slow waltz or a fox, maybe line dancing. Don't you have to kick your legs around and stuff and your arms? Who knows? But, you know, if you had a whole lot of patience to say, look, this is one of these things, let's come in and do it, would that be enough to start it rolling? But as he said, a lot of it, you know, people coming in and it's stress. And so that pain, whatever they do, is not going to make it go away. And so that lifting of people's spirit through community and through people.
Mm. Stress management is such a big thing, isn't it? And so many people don't even recognize stress. You know, recognizing that what they've got is actually stress, not a physical ailment, is probably the biggest step, and people just don't get that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, eh?
I don't know when we stopped learning that. I mean, and to me, whenever anything goes wrong with my body, whether it's I feel like throwing up or my eyes aren't working properly or I've got a pain in my shoulder at the back, which I had last week, and, you know, all of that thing, the first thing I do is think on the okay, what am I doing that my body's reacting to that I don't like? That's the first thing I ask myself. And I go through whatever it is. And, oh, yeah, it's just those stupid balls that I was lifting with my hands the other day. But often you can come down to a stress thing. Often.
Yeah. You know, and some of the examples he was using that, you know, sometimes when your daughter or son has left kind of flow in the coop, if you like, that's a huge time in someone's life, and they don't actually realise that, or they don't put it down to that, and they're trying to cope, I suppose, but it is coming out in different ways and just kind of thinking, well, actually, you don't need me. You've just got to recognise what's happened here. And so that's where that community spirit, you know, would come in.
But dance is such a fabulous form of healing. I mean,
we've had this conversation.
Yeah, I know. You know me. You don't dance. I do. Dance and music, to me, if everybody had dance and music in their lives, the world would be a happier place.
I think it would be, you know, because, and it is good exercise, and we're all a little bit, well, I wouldn't say we're all, we probably are all a little bit less kind of excited about exercise than what we were years ago, again, just because of the way we changed as a society.
Now, I'm going to challenge you about your not dancing, why you don't dance. I mean, think of your chickens. Have you ever watched your chickens walking?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If I
dance like my chickens walk, you would never, ever get me close to a dance floor. Oh, my God,
they're
hilarious.
We have a chicken dance, and that's how people, they dance like the chickens walk. I mean, it's hilarious, and it's so much fun to do it, girl. This is exactly what we're just talking about, getting rid of the stress.
I don't need it. I ain't got no stress. But I suppose it's because I've never been taught. We don't.
You don't need to be. It's a thing that comes from inside you and your head. Your head is what's stopping you from dancing. Everybody's born with the ability to be able to just move and dance. They are. It's your head that stops you. I am on a mission. I am going to take a video of Mariska dancing at some stage.
You'll be waiting a long time for that one. Movement, exercise, happy with that. Dancing, just haven't got the beat. Yeah.
Don't have to. I told you about my English friend. He was absolutely gorgeous.
I know.
I mean, he couldn't sing a note and couldn't dance a step, but it didn't stop him from doing it. It was just hilarious. And he'd get everybody up. I mean, they couldn't help themselves because they could all dance better than him, so they got up.
Well, there you go. I might be starting a big dance revolution because everybody will be feeling sorry for me.
Think, you would be encouraging.
Oh, my gosh. But we don't do it enough here in New Zealand. I don't know. I know we had this conversation before, but we never have, I don't think. Not like some of the other countries, you know?
No, it's not sort of a real part of our culture like, you know, in Spain, salsa and you know, everywhere you go, I've got a different type of form of dancing and the people just love to dance. You go to Brazil and they're just, everybody's just dancing. You go to Peru, they're dancing. You know, everywhere you go, they've got a form of dance that they all just do without even thinking about it.
I'm still sitting there picturing the chickens in my head thinking, oh my gosh.
Yeah, the chicken dance is awesome.
Well, they're funny. They do follow me. Do you know what though? They love tamarillos. So obviously we're still in tamarillo season. They love the tamarillos, but they don't like opening them. So if they fall before I get there, they're still there for me. So if I squish them with my foot, they're in there and they love the flesh and the seeds and everything. But they obviously, there must be something in the skin that they don't like that they won't pick them open.
Well, that's really funny because I had a young lady come around and help me when I had this knee thing and I couldn't do much for myself. And I wanted her to make me a smoothie and I had your tamarillos. And so I put the fruit that I wanted her to put into the blender on the bench and then went and sat down. And I think she put the whole tamarillo in. I don't think she peeled it, so I had the skin and all in there. But she was such a sweetie, I really didn't, you know, her language and everything wasn't the greatest, and obviously her customs weren't all ours. And so I didn't want to say anything, so I had the smoothie. As was. I did spend a little bit more time on the toilet than I would have wished to, but that's okay. I'm sure it was good for me.
Oh, gosh, yeah, because it is bitter, the tamarillo's got oh, crikey, yeah. Mm. That would have made some good facial expressions there. Wow, that's all we've got time for.
Another week.
It's gone. Mm. Yeah. It's time to get off up that chair. It's time to go back to work. We'll see you the same time, same place next week.
I know you say you know me well, but these days I don't even know myself, no. I always thought I'd be with someone else. I thought I would own the way I felt, yeah. You, but you never even answer. I tell myself I'm done with wicked games, but then I get so numb with all the laughter that I forget about the pain. Oh, you stress me out, you kill me, you drag me down, me up. We're on the ground, we're screaming. I don't know how to make it stop. All my friends, they give me bad advice, like move on, get you out my mind. But don't you think I haven't even tried? You got me cornered and my hands are tied. You got me so addicted to the drama. I tell myself I'm done with wicked games, but then I get so numb with all the laughter.
Sugars, brought to you by Delacro Communication. Delacro.co.nz.